Good afternoon and welcome to Dateline Hamden on WNHH-FM, New Haven and Hamden's home for community radio. I'm Paul Bass, inviting you to look behind the headlines on the stories that make our community tick. And how's this for a story? For the first time in this century, will Hamden elect a Republican for mayor? Well, we have the man who's trying to make that happen in the studio today, Ron Gambardella. He's running for mayor in Hamden. Third time he's run, but he hasn't done it for more than a decade. And Ron, welcome so much. Thanks so much for coming into WNHH-FM.
Thank you very much. Thanks for inviting me.
And good luck. Right close to the mic. Way to go, man. I used to have to tell people to get closer.
Okay.
So, Ron, I was exaggerating a little bit for humor value. We're only 21 years into the century. And in fact, at the very end of the last century, there was a Republican mayor, Barbara DiNicola.
That is correct.
But it's been 22 years almost.
It has.
What's the deal? Why are you guys in the wilderness?
Well, the numbers have been overwhelmingly stacked against the Republican Party in the Hamden. I mean, right now it's around 5-1 registered Democrats to registered Republicans.
Whoa, what was it like at the end of last century?
It was about 4-1. So,
okay, it always was.
It was difficult, and the only time...
But they used to elect Republicans, I remember.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, when Barbara won that election, there was a deep divide in the Democrat Party.
And
we're seeing something playing out very similarly in this election.
And that was about policing, wasn't it?
Back then,
yeah.
It was more regarding the mayor at that time, Lillian Klayman.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a faction for her and against her, and it played out in the general election.
And independents, I mean, unaffiliated voters, a pretty large group in Hamden, right?
Yeah,
How do they figure?
About 10,000 independents, yes.
And what does that compare to the other two parties?
Well, Republicans around 4,000 and about 10,000 Democrats.
So independents are your, it seems like conservative Democrats and independents are really your ticket if you're going to win this year, correct?
If I get elected, it will be because the Democrats decided that they want change in town hall.
Now, it's interesting you say that. I know everybody thinks that. But what about those independents? Who are they?
Well, they definitely represent, generally speaking, Hamden in itself. They are not committed to one party or other. They are open to different ideas and the way the new mayor will govern.
Because, I mean, Ron, statewide, independent unaffiliates the largest group of voters.
They
and
are.
While they always vote for Democrats for Congress, they do not always vote for Democrats for governor.
That's correct.
People see executive different from advocate.
You're absolutely correct in that. And I don't think it's no different here in Hamden, especially because the Legislative Council, which really is the body
Congress
that,
is legislative
yeah, yeah, and it's the body that approves all the finances and all the major projects, has to go through the Legislative Council. I intend to work with each of the council members, whether they're Democrat or Republican. Makes no difference to me, really. It's what's best for Hamden. That's the number one thing that I'm trying to accomplish as mayor.
So, Ron, why are you running for mayor?
Well, there's a number of reasons. As I indicated to you when we talked previously, I did serve on the council for 4 years, 2 terms. I served as the vice chair of finance and on the audit committee. And I recognized back then that there was a significant and serious problem financially emerging in Hamden.
And this is the debt that service that wasn't paid over the years, so now the bills come and due. Right?
Pension, debt, and the way we were spending money generally.
Mm-hmm.
And I recognized there was a problem, and of course the problem continued to fester and grow, and now we're at $1.3 billion in long-term obligations, and we have the highest, according to the New Haven Register, highest debt service per capita in the entire state. Things have taken a turn for the worse.
And that's, I know one disagrees about that. I guess the tough question is, what do you do about it? Are you willing to raise taxes? Are you willing to say people don't want to build up Whitney Avenue? You got to build up Willie Avenue to build up the tax base. Well, how do you tackle this? Or do you cut stuff that people count on, like summer programs?
No, that's a great question. My background, just to give you some idea of what's going on, I'm an MBA in finance. I have an undergraduate degree in accounting and economics. I worked for a phone company for 19 years, and I managed a $1 billion budget there. So I understand the intricacies and complications with
how big a budget?
$1 billion.
What was that budget?
SNET, the former SNET.
Yeah, but what was the budget you were managing?
Network finance. That's
what was it?
Network finance at the Southern New England Telephone Company.
Because back when there was a SNET, $1 billion was a lot of money.
Yeah, it was a lot of money, certainly.
Nowadays, it's like
yeah, exactly. That was a long time ago. But, okay, so getting to your question, what do we do? And really, it's going to come down to two ways. Revenue generation, bringing economic developments into town, and I expect to do that by offering some incentives. Recently, we were just given a declaration, property declarations that every small business needs to complete. I don't know if you're familiar with it or not. But in there, first year...
You're talking about from the assessor's office?
From the assessor's office, correct.
Is so, that property like the equipment they have or also the real estate?
Equipment both? And primarily equipment and improvements to leasehold buildings. Mm-hmm. And so what happens
I hate
is,
filling out that form.
I hate filling out that form.
I always get nervous.
I'm an accountant for about 18 small businesses. So,
oh, you're an accountant now?
Yeah, I am. So
I say you're a money guy.
I'm a money guy, exactly. And I try to deal with the situation through understanding what the small business owners have to face. And one of the proposals that I made was to reduce the first year that property is placed into service, because that's new revenue to the town. Right, currently it's assessed at 95%. So I'm thinking maybe we could reduce that from 95 to 50% as an incentive for people to start looking at their properties, investing them, and hopefully bring in more businesses into hand.
So this is how we had New Haven. We always tried to do incentives like we did for green cars. And I used to say, well, you know, and I was all for it. I like hybrid cars. It was back in the 90s and 2000s. I said, but is anyone really going to buy a $20,000 car because they're not going to have to, you know, they have this small incentive? And I did meet one guy who said yes, so I was wrong. But but is someone really going to buy a computer they otherwise wouldn't buy, or a machine, a bigger machine that's more, I guess, to manufacture, because you're going to, for the first year, save them 95 to 50%?
Well, it turns out that incentives do, in fact, work. And if you look at the electric vehicles, there is an incentive that's offered on your tax return, and it does, in fact, lower the overall cost of the vehicle, and people are more apt to purchase a vehicle.
And when you would know a lot more than I would how people make the decisions, because you're the accountant for the small business. So the other question often comes, like Republicans in New Haven are very wary of incentives because they feel like Democrats will give incentives to people otherwise would have made that decision, right? So if you're going to build something anyway or buy a piece of equipment anyway, getting the tax break, they say,
well,
prevents the town from getting the benefit. But you're saying it's enough incentive they might invest in something they wouldn't otherwise invest.
It's really, when you think about it, like using the property declaration as an example, that would be new revenue to the town, not eroding existing revenue. So in other words, it's going to be incenting a new source of revenue, and then in subsequent years it'll even generate more revenue.
What's your envelope estimate of, back in the envelope estimate of how much money that would get extra for
that,
town?
That is difficult to assess at the moment because it's never been tried before. First thing I want to do is to test it in the waters to see how much we can draw, and then to get from the business community what else they would like to see. I know that there's a couple of opportunities for the town. And one of the other things I'm thinking about doing is if somebody's going to build a brand new facility, especially light industry, building a building, for example, you know, they need sewers, they need streets, they need sidewalks.
Which is really a big problem in northern Hampden, right?
Yes, exactly. So in order to perhaps incent that activity, what we would do is maybe partner with the private businesses to hopefully offset some of those costs in exchange for, of course, new revenue coming in through.
And would you bond for that on top of your already big indebtedness? Like, well, if you're going to put a sewer system, it's a lot of money. You usually can't do it 1 year, right?
Yeah, you can't do it in 1 year. But there's some COVID money coming, and there's some infrastructure money coming, which I think we could tap into to help us develop these areas. And I think,
if they pass the infrastructure bill.
Well, I think it's going to pass. And
you really do?
I do, yes.
I got my doubts.
Look, anything can happen, but I suspect that it will, because everybody...
Okay, so two ideas. Property declaration, 50% from 95% the first year. Test it out, see what it brings. And then tap infrastructure money to help businesses that might want to do manufacturing get the infrastructure they need. And are we talking more about northern or both parts of Hampden?
Everywhere in Hampden.
What I've been hearing lately in Hampden is that people... Like, I talked to one guy who wanted to bring a bakery, a small factory, into Hampden, and the neighborhood was just against it, and the zoning was tough in southern Hampden. People don't want that mixed use, and that's something that, as a politician, you then have to sometimes make a tough choice. If I want to build my tax base, how do you say no to someone who doesn't want any changes in their quality of life?
I've been talking to the people in southern Hampden, and they feel like they've been ignored for a long, long time. One of the proposals I have there is to build an animal shelter. We've been without an animal shelter for 25 years.
Right, you contract North Haven.
We do that, but we're going to bring it in town, but I want to make it more than just an animal shelter. I want to build it in the southern part of town, and I also want corporate sponsorship. So, for example, if we do a nice job with the animal shelter, which I mean having internet cameras so they can look at the animals, make sure they're not being abused, use it for even a center attraction, you know, have some bleachers built so we could have special events, agility testing, that sort of thing. and vaccinations and special promotions, and then invite veterinarians to come in as a partnership with the town. They would provide their services at low or no cost in exchange for advertising. We'd have a memorial wall for people who want to memorialize their pets to help offset and defray the cost of operating this thing.
And you're seeing revenue generation by corporate sponsorships.
Absolutely, because if it's attractive and it helps the southern end of town, which people dire, they want.
Where in the southern end of town?
You know where Putnam Avenue is, where the pedestrian bridge is? Right next there, we already own 2.5 acres of land. We could build it right there.
That'd be a nice spot.
It's an excellent
spot. What about up on Whitney, when people really don't want to have more housing densification or any kind of stores added?
Actually, again, in the Whitney, they want walkable neighborhoods. People have been telling me they want walkable neighborhoods. They want me to work with Quinnipiac to build up almost a college environment, such as Broadway right here in New Haven.
Uh-huh.
And so we could do that, and that would be part of helping economic development.
How about Southern, like where Best Videos and stuff? Would you be for... I know everyone's scared of Mix Avenue-type big towers, which obviously aren't going to come, but would you allow like a three-story mixed-use development in that area?
Here's what I'm for. If the people in their neighborhoods want something
they
like
don't.
That...
I can tell you,
well,
get
you
lost.
Know, they might.
Liberals, by the way. Liberals who always say this for the stuff until it's in their neighborhood. I mean, let's just be honest, all right?
You know what I was told, and this was an interesting story, but in Southern Hamden, there was a proposal for low-income housing. And what they said is, we're not necessarily opposed to high-density housing. We want ownership. Ownership. People to move into these homes where they have ownership stake in it. And what we can do, you know, you look at programs like Title VIII, where they pay a substantial amount of money for rent. Why not create a program that will help people with ownership? If we're going to willing to pay rent, why not have those funds directed towards paying a mortgage so people could take ownership, they could buy and sell property and feel proud of owning what they
and
live
cuts.
In.
Would you cut? Do you have any specific cuts you would make in government?
Okay, now that is interesting, because what I have to do, union contracts are up for negotiations, and I love labor and I certainly want everyone to be protected. But they need to understand that things have got to change. Not necessarily reducing salaries, but more flexibility in the work schedule. For example, let me give you an idea about the police department. The police department right now are working unbelievable amount of overtime. And I proposed that we take some of that overtime, say 25% of the overtime. That's money that we can free up to hire retired police officers. Now, why would I want to do that? Because retired police officers already have their benefits. They already have a supplemental income. They don't need as much as, say, somebody who's doing this full-time as an occupation.
Will that be an incentive for people to retire when they wouldn't otherwise retire so they could double dip?
I don't think so, because there's not enough police officers as there is. I think people would be attracted to, maybe they're missing wanting to work. This is a way to bring certified police officers in at little cost to the town, and then we'll have more police visibility
on
the streets.
Less overtime per hour.
Less overtime per hour. Right. It doesn't. There's no upward pressure on the budget because we're already paying the police officers overtime. So we could take some of that money to pay the part-time.
All right. We're talking to Ron Gambardelli. He's running for mayor as a Republican in Hamden. You said it's a 5-to-1 difference, but it's 4,000 Republicans, you said?
Yeah.
Registered?
Yeah.
So that would be 20,000 Dems.
I might have misstepped that. It's about 20,000. Okay. I'm sorry. I apologize.
But no, you're looking for 10 of them. And we have a double bonus today, which is someone who's helping Ron and his campaign, Angie Tamaro. Did I say it right? Two M's. I'm gonna ask you to get it real close to the mic too. Angie, you're also running at large.
Yeah, so I'm running at large. I'm from, and I have been for my entire life, from the first district in Hamden, and I'm running at large. This is my first real foray into politics. I was a volunteer briefly on a campaign for mayor in Hamden as a high school student, just some 6 years ago in 2015. And I returned from undergraduate at Stonehill College just in 2020, did some work in Georgia, canvassing for the double Senate runoff election just last year up until January. And then I reached out to Frank Lador, the chairman of the Hamden Republican Town Committee, and I said, I'd love to help. I'd love to be
so
involved.
So 25?
I'm 23.
And that's great. You get in politics early. What do you do for a living, Andrew?
So I just actually recently accepted a job in Hartford, working with the House Republican office.
Okay.
So, but right now...
That must have been interesting in Georgia, because that was that crazy moment when Republicans had Donald Trump kind of telling them not to vote because he was saying the vote wasn't honest.
That was interesting is definitely the word to describe it. I mean, having been on the ground, I was stationed in Columbus, Georgia with a bunch of other really college-age kids that were interested in politics and wanted to kind of take that grassroots approach to what was I mean, really just a massive election, and the implications of it were huge. And it was actually, interestingly enough, pretty easy to remove yourself from kind of the national narrative surrounding what was the biggest election in the world probably at the time, because I was so focused.
The conventional wisdom from outside is that it was impossible to separate that race from the national narrative, and that's why the Republicans lost.
Yeah, and I mean, that could certainly be debated.
Now that's your challenge this year in Hamden, correct? The national narrative kills you in Hamden because there's so many more Democrats. But when people look at local issues, they're not always the same breakdown.
Absolutely.
So how do you do that in Hamden?
Well, I can defer this to Ron a little bit, but I think really the distinction between national issues and local issues is about as clear as it can possibly be. And that's really at all times. I think there are certainly times when maybe a national issue is of interest in a local, you know, in a municipal election or things like that. And obviously local or national issues have influence on people's lives in a local setting. But really when it comes down to focusing on the people of Hamden, that's what I've learned is imperative, really, and that's what I've learned a lot from Ron and from the people that we work with, and just in my own.
What's your number one issue? Like, if you're on
in
the
Hamden, I think clearly the number one issue is crime in Hamden, and that's kind of what we've heard.
More than
really,
budget,
I think so, and I think obviously the budget. I mean, as a candidate for council, I sometimes get a little bit clouded with. I am currently running for council, but I'm doing a lot of work to help Ron as well, and it's a little, you know, the issues are different between the legislative council and the mayor's office. Clearly, it's legislators and it's executives, and I think. I'm a little bit conditioned at times to think like we're running a campaign for an executive office, which is the mayor, and that kind of tackles the crime issue a little bit more than the legislative council. But certainly for the council, it is the budget. But I think there are a lot of ways that crime in the budgets and taxes and economic development
are intertwined. So about crime, this is what blew me away, because I live in New Haven, right? And I've never been nervous in New Haven for a long time and for crime. I go to Hamden, I kind of feel like I'm in La La Land. Then I'm reading that, like, door-to-door people telling you that they're scared to go out in public alone. What in the world is that? Is it really dangerous to go out in public alone in Hamden?
It depends on really who you're talking to. When you ask for the number one issue, it's between finance, the finances of the town, and crime. Seniors in particular are extremely concerned about shopping in Hamden. In fact, we've been losing
money. Have there been crimes on Whitney at the or in Dixville?
There have been crimes, and see what's happening is that the newspapers sensationalize crime.
We don't.
Well, you may not, but New Haven Register seems to be reporting on it almost on a regular daily basis.
And people, but is it reality? Is it dangerous? Are you scared to go to the store?
Well, I'm not scared personally, but the thing is, seniors are scared, and they're scared so much that they're going to Wallingford and North Haven to shop, and it's hurting our merchants in Hamden.
And it's so, a real thing, huh?
It is.
Like, even living on Mix Avenue, they don't go across the street to the Magic Mile?
Fair is a very serious issue in Hamden. People are not living their lives. I mean, I talk about people in the southern part of Hamden as well, and they are saying that they're afraid to walk in their own neighborhoods because of random gunshots. You know, it's a serious problem, and it needs to be addressed. And in order for us to attract economic development, they're part and parcel together, because why would a business invest in Hamden if they feel...
Is the reality... Am I, like, way off? Like, I would never be scared to shop in Hamden.
Well, I mean, that's you, and that's fine.
My wife would never be scared to shop in Hamden.
But there are people who are really scared to shop in Hamden.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
The way you find that out is by simply walking around the neighborhoods and talking to
people. You guys really hearing this on the door.
Oh, my goodness.
Absolutely.
It's like the two things, finance and crime. And that's the thing that I need to address. The people have to feel safe.
So you talked about the overtime and bringing in the retired cops. What other ideas do you guys have on the...
Okay, so... When you look at the totality of Hamden and its budgets, we have education. Obviously, there's only so much you can do in the area of education because there's so many mandates. I personally think that we need to continue to foster excellent education in Hamden, and so there's not much we can do there. But in terms of labor is the number one.
And that's what you talked about, more flexibility in the budgets.
Yeah, we need more flexibility, for example.
Yeah, give me some more examples of that.
So if you are... rigid in terms of a job description, any job description, pick anything. And that job description prevents you from reassigning an employee to do some other task. Well, then you either have to create a new job or you have to...
So in practice, where has that turned out? I get the police thing with overtime. Where are some other examples?
Well, it's even in the public works department. You
know, so what aren't they? Like, they're not allowed to do leaves or when there's a storm, that kind of thing?
Whatever, that sort of thing. Also, in terms of trying to bring people to understand the magnitude of the problems that Hamden faces, we have to get the unions to buy into the crisis, because right now, in the past, they simply haven't been, they've been detached, really, from... Yeah.
And that's true everywhere with municipal unions. Yeah. So what are, I'm really interested in these specific ideas, the police overtime, the more flexible job descriptions in public works. Yeah. And do you have an example of that?
Yeah,
Snow shoveling versus...
Here's the thing. Let's assume that you're a landscaper, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, our buildings and parks and ball fields, they're okay, but they're not just gems. You know, people want to look at an aesthetically pleasing town. Even our town hall is overgrown with weeds and so on mm-hmm. and so forth. Why not say to a landscaper to adopt a building or a ballpark, and they, in exchange for their services, and they're going to, of course, beautify it as much as they possibly can, because their name, we're going to allow them to advertise their services on those particular locations so they can see. If
so it'll be like Paradise Landscaping Town Hall, the Hamden Paradise Landscape.
Well,
I'm teasing you there.
Yeah, you know, they would have flowers perfectly manicured. And so what's happening is people then, at the end of the season, the mayor will then go around town, look at all the landscaping options that are out there, and then we'll simply have an award. We'll promote the business and provide an award for, first, second, and third. Now,
okay.
What do the landscapers get? The landscapers, even though they're putting out their effort and they're working hard, they get recognition. They get advertisement. And so they get the chance to build their businesses.
So naming rights there. Exits on the highway.
I get that. These are
mm-hmm.
simplified ideas that don't cost the town anything, and they get you a lot in return.
So you like getting in the weeds with the nuts and bolts.
I think that it's not just me. I mean, I'm trying to invite the people generally. One thing that Hamden has never done is to push government out to the people.
Mm.
I intend to do that, and here's how I'm going to do it. Let's say you have a thorny issue as cannabis. Cannabis will be an issue that people want to discuss. So
the issue there about whether you can smoke in public? Or?
Well, there's two. I see it as two businesses. One is production and cultivation. The other is distribution or storefronts. Mm-hmm. And so there are people who are pro and con against each side of that debate.
They got some group that has like merchants, don't they, near the outer space they meet every week?
Yeah. They do.
That's kind of funny.
Actually, they do by the outer space.
Actually,
I went to the it's like almost a festival environment. Very nice people. Very calm. Everybody gets along with one another. I don't really see that as a problem, but some people may see it as a problem, and they want their voices heard. And so I'm going to give them an opportunity to voice their opinion.
Do you have any opinions about how to deal with these issues?
See, that's the thing. I'm neutral about these things. So mm-hmm. I would get five people. Doesn't matter if you're Democrat, Republican or independent. All that matters is that you want to do what's best for the town, and you're committed to your side of the argument. And I do the same thing. Pros and cons. They meet openly, in public, saying to Legislative Council, we invite the public to help and participate
so
in those discussions.
So a public process to do it, and you're not going in there with any preconceived ideas.
Exactly.
Any thoughts on yours? You're a different generation. Like for Ron and me, it still blows me away that I walk down the street now and people just, like I was riding by, I guess, behind some guy, and he's smoking a joint on State Street right in front of me, and it's right in my face, and I'm thinking, holy crap, that's legal.
Yeah. It is a bit of an interesting dynamic, certainly.
But, I mean, your generation is a little different. You know,
yeah, we kind of have been... I think there are different generations between mine and maybe yours that have come up with the idea or even the institution of marijuana or cannabis in different ways. I think it's been treated a lot different ways, especially for my generation. A lot of people feel that they've been, wrongly persecuted or things like that for the issues of marijuana and things like that. Yeah,
society's saying it's like alcoholism with alcohol.
And I think one of the strengths that Ron has really brought and showed me throughout this entire campaign cycle is the willingness to do things like this and concede a lot of issues, maybe like cannabis, that Ron himself is neutral on that, but other people might not be so much. And it's not exactly up to the mayor or up to the Legislative Council to take all of these matters into their own hands. I mean, really, besides being elected, there's really not much that might separate Ron Ghimardella from the average Hamden resident, besides the fact that he's got a litany of financial expertise and experience and things like that. But I think on a lot of these issues that are thorny and that are a little bit controversial, it is right to maybe kind of defer some of that deliberation process to the people that the ordinances and laws would be affecting.
Race has been a big change since you last ran for mayor, right? Like Hamden's gotten blacker, but especially browner.
Mm-hmm.
Hispanics are the fastest growing group in town.
Yep.
What does that mean for the government? Or is that just really not a government issue, you think?
Well, look, it's important for us to invite everybody to participate in government. And I think the number one area that I've been hearing from the minority communities is that they don't seem to have their voices heard. They're not being recognized. Or the area of town that they live in has been ignored. I'm going to address those issues. I'm going to invite them to participate. I think that's they're vibrant. It's part of our community. They need to feel part of our community. We mm-hmm. need to talk to one another. Right now, we're doing a lot of talking at each other, but mm-hmm. we need to talk to each other. And look, my church that I go to, it's largely Hispanic. And in fact, we have a Hispanic pastor. I love going there. I love hearing what people have to say. They approach me, they talk to me, and it's really a good feeling.
And I think to build off of that just a little bit, I think what a lot of people, and just this is, again, gained from talking with people and meeting so many different people throughout town, especially the southern end of town, like you're saying, and different minority communities, it's a lot of the time, I think a lot of attention is put on, we want there to be a strict correlation of representation between the demographics of our town and the people.
Right,
that
like they
consist...
say, look at your ticket to say it's all white people, so should it be that
exactly.
way?
Exactly, yeah. But I think really what people want more than anything is just to feel that they are represented and that they can be an active participant in government. I think
people just like to be heard.
Exactly, I think especially in Hamden, what we've heard is that a lot of people really don't care one way or another necessarily the breakdown, the demographic breakdown of who's running for office or who's in office or anything like that. They want to be heard, and they want to not only be heard, but make Ron has a great idea to not only be heard, but really be inactive and have a firsthand impact on perhaps a pretty controversial policy
and
implication.
Finally, before I let you guys go, COVID was controversial. Are you for continuing indoor mask mandates, any vaccination policy for government workers? What's your take on that?
I'm not a medical expert, so I have to defer to the CDC on that particular issue. And I think they've been providing some excellent guidance, and no reason why I would depart from that particular.
So do you believe that town employees should be vaxxed or tested weekly?
I think that's probably a fair thing, tested weekly. I think New Haven is doing that, and it seems yeah. reasonable, and the employees seem
They're
to be
not doing
okay
that in Hamden?
I don't believe they are testing weekly, but I could be wrong about that. I don't know what the current status is, but testing weekly might be a good alternative.
It's funny with COVID, we all feel so strongly about it, but we all know less than we do know. Mm. You know what I mean? Like
we all love to know everything, but unfortunately.
That's why
early on, I was going around saying, why are you wearing a mask? Fauci just said, I do trust Fauci, but they just said you don't need a mask. Then a month later, it's life or death. You got to wear a mask. And they're doing their best, too, trying to get stuff in real
they
time.
They are. You're right. I agree.
But so last comments, guys. What do you want people to know before they go to the election? What's the single pitch, the elevator pitch for Ron Gambardella running for mayor as a Republican and Andrew Tenver running for at-large district? Give me your elevator pitch.
I understand that the numbers are overwhelmingly stacked against me with regard to the Democrats. And I want to just say to them, there's nothing to fear in me. I am absolutely committed to doing what's best for the town. You'll have a voice in my administration. I'll be working across the aisle. I'll be working with the legislative council. There's not much more I can do beyond that. Mm-hmm. I am open to new ideas and discussion and debate.
Mm-hmm. And I think personally, I think what I would really love to portray is to a lot of the younger people in Hamden, too, especially, that service to your community is not something that should be seen as something that's kind of bringing from the pale a little bit of like the classic track to success, a track to the workforce in Hamden. I think when you can get involved in your community at whatever age, at a young age and in whatever capacity, I think it's really sends a great message to all of us. And that'll help us build for a better Hamden. Like Ron
good note to Anna. I just want to say my personal take is I respect everyone willing to run for office, especially in these not very polite times of political discourse. I think it's a great thing to run for office, give people choices that are only going to make our community better. So Ron Gambardella, Anthony Tamaro, good luck on your campaigns. Appreciate Thanks for coming into Dateline Hamden. We're going to take a little break, folks, and then we're going to come back with J.K., who's running not as a Democrat, not as a Republican, but an independent with a capital I and a lowercase I. So we're going to talk about what that means. So sit tight. We're going to take it out with the Afro-Semitic Experience performing I Wish I Knew How It Feel to Be Free. From the group CD, A Plea for Peace, this is Paul Bass inviting you to fly free with us all day and all night here at WNHH New Haven's home for community radio.